news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Big news stories always seem to break late Friday afternoon. This time, it came from the Supreme Court, who announced they declined to hear the Texas lawsuit promoted by Donald Trump that challenged voting results in four other states. And yep, all nine justices agreed that the state of Texas lacked standing to bring this lawsuit.
Texas has no right to even file this lawsuit at the high court because Texas has no right to legally challenge how another state conducts its elections. And in this case, of course, Texas was challenging the election procedures for four crucial battleground states. And in this order, two of the most conservative justices, Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, they said that they did believe the Supreme Court should have let Texas at least file the case, but then these two justices said that even if that had happened, they too would have rejected it. So this is a complete rejection of the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, his efforts to stop the electors in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, stop them from voting for Joe Biden when they meet on Monday. They cannot stop them at this point. So this was a short order, just one page and just a few sentences. But this is a major defeat for Republicans tonight. And of course, it's a victory to all those states and officials who blasted this effort by Texas. In fact, officials in Pennsylvania, they called it a cacophony of bogus claims that called for a seditious abuse of the judicial process. That was in their court filing. Mm. And tonight, the Supreme Court really seeming to agree when they issued this order that capped a week of two Supreme Court rejections of Republican efforts. And of course, we have seen repeated cases where they have shut down Republican efforts all over the country by state and federal judges. Now we're seeing it twice in 1 week from the Supreme Court.
We now embark on what promises to be a busy and contentious week. On Monday, early voting begins in the Georgia U.S. Senate runoff races. It's also the final week of this legislative session, or maybe not. The one-week stopgap funding that Congress passed last week runs out on Friday, so a new deal has to be worked out this week. They're also allegedly working on a COVID relief bill to go along with the funding bill. Meanwhile, Senators Bernie Sanders and Republican Josh Hawley have joined forces and are still pushing for direct payments to citizens this week. And COVID-19 vaccinations have begun starting Monday morning in the United States after the Centers for Disease Control gave the final nod to the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine over the weekend. Over the next few days, the vaccine should reach all of the more than 600 administration sites across the country. Frontline healthcare workers and those in long-term care facilities will be offered the first doses. But experts warn that this is not going to be a quick and easy process. Pfizer can only provide up to 6.4 million doses by Saturday and 40 million doses by the end of the month. Not even enough to cover all of the 24 million people eligible for the first round of inoculations. Keep in mind that each vaccine requires two doses. The beginning of the vaccination program comes as the U.S. approaches 300,000 coronavirus deaths. Meanwhile, other countries are imposing more lockdown measures. Germany, for instance, next week will go into a hard national lockdown until after Christmas. But Monday's big event is usually something that's just sort of an afterthought. The electors from the Electoral College vote in the states and formally will choose Joe Biden as the next president. The votes will be tallied on January 6th at a joint session of Congress with Vice President Mike Pence presiding. That should be fun. But in Michigan, the State House and Senate office buildings have been forced to close their doors on Monday after receiving violent threats coinciding with the day that the state's electors are due to cast their votes for Joe Biden. According to the Detroit Free Press, officials already announced last week that the Capitol would be closed to the public during the meeting because of expected protests. But an alert went out on Sunday to senators, representatives, and employees to tell them that the offices will also be shut down. A spokesman for Michigan's Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey said Sunday, quote, "The decision was not made because of anticipated protests, but based on credible threats of violence." Sickening. And despite the fact that really, it's over for Trump. He keeps saying he'll fight on.
No judge has had the courage, including the Supreme Court. I am so disappointed in them. No judge, including the Supreme Court of the United States, has had the courage to allow it to be heard. The Supreme Court, all they did is say, we don't have standing. So they're saying essentially that the president of the United States and Texas and these other states, great states, they don't have standing. They didn't go into the evidence. If you would look at the evidence, thousands of pages of evidence, we have over 1,000 affidavits from people that saw tens of thousands of ballots.
Gotcha.
Gets good. No, but here's the point. They're winning these things on little technicalities, like a thing called standing. They're saying the president of the United States does not have standing.
Right.
U.S. District Court Judge Brett Ludwig, a Trump appointee in Wisconsin, wrote of those cases on Saturday, quote, "A sitting president who did not prevail in his bid for re-election has asked for federal court help in setting aside the popular vote based on disputed issues of election administration, issues he plainly could have raised before the vote occurred. This court allowed the plaintiff the chance to make his case, and he has lost on the merits." In his reply, plaintiff asks that the rule of law be followed. It has been, end quote. Writing at the National Review, Andrew McCarthy argues that the most telling aspect of Ludwig's ruling isn't that the rejecting was done by a Trump-appointed judge or that it was done on the merits. He says it's when Ludwig notes that, quote, "On the morning of the hearing, the parties reached agreement on a stipulated set of facts," meaning, quote, "There was no actual disagreement between the Trump team and Wisconsin officials about the pertinent facts of the case." I'd say it's unbelievable, but this is typical of Trump. In other news, the Trump administration on Sunday confirmed that hackers had conducted a cyber attack on the Treasury Department and part of the Commerce Department. CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, whose leader Trump fired last week, issued a rare directive late Sunday for, quote, "all federal civilian agencies to review their networks for indicators of compromise and disconnect or power down SolarWinds Orion products immediately." Cybersecurity firm FireEye, which disclosed last week that it had been hacked, said the month-long global campaign had been perpetrated via malware inserted in the security update of SolarWinds' popular Orion server management software. It was not immediately clear what data may have been compromised. Cleveland's Major League Baseball franchise will reportedly drop its name, the Indians, the latest team to heed fans and tribal communities' request to leave behind a term considered racist. And finally, Northwestern University is distancing itself from a former lecturer who wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal calling on incoming First Lady Jill Biden to stop using the doctor honorific because she has a doctorate in education, not an MD. The school said in a statement on Saturday that it disagrees with the, quote, "misogynistic views of Joseph Epstein." He's an author and former professor at Northwestern. The sexist and condescending piece addressed the incoming First Lady as kiddo, really, and wrote in part, quote, "a bit of advice on what may seem like a small, but I think is not an unimportant matter. Any chance you might drop the doctor before your name? Ugh." The university said Epstein has not been a lecturer there since 2003. In his statement, he claims that he had, quote, "taught at Northwestern University for 30 years without a doctorate or any advanced degree." The university as a whole issued a statement disagreeing with Epstein. Northwestern's English department also, in a separate statement, described Epstein's comments as, quote, "an unmerited aspersion on Biden's rightful public claiming of her doctoral credentials and expertise." Northwestern also removed Epstein's public profile from its website. In response to a request from CNN on Sunday, Epstein responded via email, quote, "no comment, apart from saying I thought mine a lightly humorous piece, but I fear there isn't much humor in the world, especially among the politically correct." Ah, oh, please. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.